so much over the years. So just a plug for that. Well, good morning. Good morning. My very first job that I have, can you guess what was my very first job? What do you think? It was McDonald's. It was a busboy. Busboy in a restaurant. And eventually I worked myself up to be a waiter, and that was a really interesting experience, being a waiter in a restaurant, working with the public. I learned a lot. It was an interesting experience. But have you ever gone into a restaurant for a meal and gotten a waiter who is kind of like cold or kind of snobby maybe, or impatient, or kind of seemed disinterested, right? We've all, I think, experienced that, right? Getting waiters that were like, oh, what's wrong, right? And it could affect your whole meal, your whole restaurant experience, that one person. Or maybe you've had a waiter who was pleasant and attentive and warm and patient, like I hope I was to those I served, right? Maybe if that kind of waiter that, you know, you just notice them and you go, wow, this is awesome service. The attitude of the server could make enormous, huge difference. You know, I heard this definition of attitude right here around the, gonna show it. Attitude is an inward feeling expressed by a behavior. Attitude is an inward feeling expressed by behavior. There's a kid, little Billy, he was 4 years old, and he was just having a terrible day. Billy was having a terrible day. He was cranky, and he was fussy, and he was ornery, and he was kind of terrorizing the whole house. And finally, his mom was exasperated. She couldn't take it anymore, so she said, Billy, you go into that corner, and you sit in that stool, and you think about how you're behaving. You think about your attitude. So Billy huffs, and he marches to the corner, stomping his feet. He sits down, and then he turns and looks at his mom. He says, I might be sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. That's attitude. That's attitude. And your attitude, our attitude, can greatly affect all the people around us, what attitude we have. Your attitude will either produce positive effect on the people around you, or negatively infect the people around you. A good attitude lifts and blesses other people, while a bad attitude has the potential to tear down and turn off those around us. And so, can you guess what this first topic of the serving challenge is, as we're starting this serving challenge series? It's on attitude. The first topic of the serving challenge series is attitude. Philippians 2, 5 through 7. Philippians 2, 5 through 7. Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. This is not a request. This is not a suggestion. This isn't like, well, maybe you can do. This is a command. This is have the attitude that Jesus had. Although he was in the form of God and equal with God, he did not take advantage of this equality. He did not exercise the rights he had. He set aside his rights and prerogatives of being the Son of God. Instead, he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant by becoming like other humans, by having a human appearance. As Christians, we are to pursue the same attitude as Jesus. What attitude did he have? He discarded selfish ambition, selfish ways. He did not demand his rights, and he became a servant. Philippians 2:3. This is very clear, the unequivocal clear. Don't act out of selfish ambition or be conceited. Instead, humbly think of others as being better than yourselves. You know, it's funny because this verse, putting this verse into practice, can be the most challenging in our homes, in our own homes. Right? I am part of a men's small group, and we're doing the serving challenge. And one of the things, because we only meet most of the small groups, you only meet twice a month. So there's actually 14 days between our meetings, usually. And then, you know, the serving challenge book, it's like a daily devotional of just 7. So there's a gap, there's an extra day. So kind of just to try to grow in this serving attitude, this attitude of Jesus, and the serving mindset, we said, well, let's take on a challenge to every day, try to intentionally serve someone, right? So that it's a conscious decision, it's a choice, it's intentional. Okay, I'm going to serve this person. You know, throughout the day, people could ask you to help, do different things, or part of your normal routines or works, you might be serving other people. But said, we want to try to have it in our minds to try to serve. And so we started the first day, I was doing it, right? Like, okay, I got to intensely serve. Guess who the Lord was challenging me to serve? You can take a guess. Who's that person the Lord was challenging me to serve? Yes, it was my wife, Dale. And so I said, okay, every few days I put a post and a thread, and then I was sharing how I was trying to be intentional to serve her in these different ways and different things. And it was like, it's a challenge. It is a serving challenge. And then some of the other guys are chiming in. They go, oh, man, right? I got a sense. Now, if your husband is in my small group, now don't be expecting. Don't say, hey, you're supposed to be. Don't use it like a weapon against him. Dale, don't use it as a weapon against him. But, you know, in the home can be some of the biggest challenge. But we're called to have an attitude of service, to bless all those around us. Let me just share a couple of powerful impacts a serving attitude can have. First is this: it could transform people and transform you. Serving others. Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Okay, Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine in front of people, then they will see the good that you do and praise your Father in heaven. Being a light to people, that's having a good attitude. That's having an attitude of service around people. You know, I heard the story of this woman. She was married for quite a while to her husband, and she could not stand her husband. It got to the point where she couldn't stand her husband anymore. She just said, I can't take it anymore, so I want to pursue a divorce. So she went to a lawyer and met a lawyer, and she sat down, and she goes, oh, how can I help you? He goes, I despise my husband. I can't take it anymore. So I want to end it. I want to get a divorce. But she said, she was so busy, she goes, I don't want to just end it. I want to really stick it to him. I want to really get him. And so the lawyer thought for a minute, he goes, I have a really good idea. For this next month, for this coming month, why don't you treat him like a king? She said, what? Yeah, treat him like a king. Treat him with kindness. Serve him, do all these things for him, build him up, and then after a month, stick it to him. Tell him, I want a divorce. When he's all built up, crush him. And she said, "That's a great idea. I'm going to go do this." So she went home and she started implementing this strategy. A day went by, a couple weeks went by, a month went by, and then 2 months went by, and then 3 months went by, and then 4 months went by. The lawyer hadn't heard a thing. So he goes, I'm going to call her up. I'm going to call up to see if she's ready to lower the hammer. So she calls the wife up. She says, "Hey, this is Sonia." She goes, "Oh, yeah, hi, how are you doing?" She goes, "Wow, are you ready to lower the hammer? Are you ready to stick it to him?" She goes, "What?" He said, "Yeah, are you ready? You remember the plan?" She said, "Oh, yeah, that." He said, "Well, I started implementing it, and I was all ready to do it. But, you know, as I kept doing it, after time, my husband started changing. And then he started treating me really nice. He started buying me presents. He started doing all these things." And she said, "This is the best our marriage has been forever." She goes, "Well, what about the plan? Aren't you going to divorce?" He goes, "No way. I love this man." Click. He hung up. Serving attitude can change and transform the people around us. Because really, behind the serving attitude, what is it? It's love. It's the love of God. And not only could it transform the people around us, it could transform you as well. Romans 2:4, it says, "It is the kindness of the Lord." It is his kindness that leads us to repentance. Having a servant attitude can transform the people around you and transform you. Secondly, having a servant attitude can spread and change entire communities. Back in 2000, there was this movie, and it was called Pay It Forward. And so we're going to just watch a short little clip of that movie where the young boy that implements this Pay It Forward strategy, where he talks about this strategy in his class. Let's watch.
"That's me. And that's three people. And I'm going to help them. But it has to be something really big. Something they can't do by themselves. So I do it for them. Then they do it for three other people. That's nine. And I do three more.
That's 27, so I'm not really good at math, but it gets big really fast, you know?"
All right.
"A little articulation, please."
"Yes."
"I think it's a good idea."
"Sean?"
"It's stupid."
"Adam?"
"It's the honor system.
People blow off the honor system."
"So what? Just because you do."
"Well, Trevor, the class seems to think that you've come up with an overly utopian idea. Look that word up in a minute."
"Like a perfect world?"
"Mm-hmm."
"So?"
"So, what put this idea in your head?"
"'Cause
everything sucks."
"He talked to you about this?"
"We've had our discussions, yeah. But you don't have to worry, though, because I'll tell him we can't talk no more."
"No, don't do that. Would you like a cup of coffee?"
"That's me. That's me. And that's three people."
This movie is a story of paying it forward. This little boy had this idea, and it shows how it changes people's lives around him, and it spreads as they pay it forward. You know what this is about, this story? the kingdom of God. It's what God envisions, what he intended for people and the world to be like. It's an inspired idea that's rooted in the heart of Jesus. John 12, 24 through 26, Jesus talking, I can guarantee this truth. A single grain of wheat doesn't produce anything unless it is planted in the ground and dies. If it dies, it will produce a lot of grain. Those who love their lives will destroy them, and those who hate their lives in this world will guard them for everlasting life. Those who serve me must follow me. My servants will be with me wherever I will be. If people serve me, get this, if people serve me, the Father will honor them. Jesus wants us to follow him, to imitate him, to pay it forward, to serve others like he has served us. That's his calling. That's his command. But as powerful, as good, as right as this is, willpower, motivation, good intentions can only take us so far. It might last for a time. You might be able to keep it up for a long while of trying to imitate Jesus, of having his attitude, of serving other people. You might keep it going for a while, but eventually it generally fades. You know why? Because you will always default to who you truly think you are, or who you truly believe you are. We will always, as much as we want to try, as much as we want to do this, as much as we want to imitate Jesus, we will always default to who we truly believe we are, how we truly see ourselves. We will default to that. Because ultimately, your attitude comes out of your identity. Your attitude comes out of your identity. How you really see yourself, or what you really believe about yourself. You know, the Bible says over and over and over that God's love for us is unlimited. That he loves you enough, he loved you enough to sacrifice the most precious thing to him. That's how valuable you are to him. That's how important you are to him. That's how precious and special you are to him. That if you receive Jesus and confess Jesus, then the Bible says you are holy and blameless in God's sight. Think about that. Every single time, for those of you that have received Jesus, every single time the Father looks at you, he sees a child of his that is holy and blameless. You say, well, what about my sin? Yeah, he knows about your sin, but it's been taken care of. It is finished on the cross. So every time he sees you, holy, blameless, you are his child. You are his heir. Holy and blameless, Ephesians 1:3, child and heir, Romans 8:17. That makes you divine royalty. You are the heir of the king of the universe. That makes you divine royalty, a divine prince or princess in the kingdom of God. But even if all this is true, which is rooted in the gospel, in the Bible, even if all this is true, if you don't think it's true, or you don't believe it's true, it won't impact your day-to-day experience. it might be still true for you, but how you experience life, how you experience God, how you see and experience other people won't be reflected in that. Because it's just not about how God sees you, but it's how you think he sees you. Even if God sees you a certain way, if you don't think he sees you that way, it's not going to impact your day-to-day life, even though it's true. When we don't really know who we are in Christ, over time, as we try to be a servant, we'll be getting frustrated. You'll get offended. You'll start getting resentful. And maybe even bitter about being a servant. But when you know that you know that you know how the King of the universe sees you, and when you believe it, serving others, putting others first, be a servant, totally fine. Because you know who your daddy is. And you know who you are. So does it matter if I humble, I lower myself, I serve others? Does it matter if I put people first? Does it matter if I do the least jobs no one wants to do? Does it matter if I put them first? If I know who I am, if I know the King of the universe sees me as his loved child, if I know that I am holy and blameless, if I know I have a hope and a future and a destiny waiting for me, does it matter? No. Does it matter if we're the lowest of the lows, if we're the servant? Because we're secure and we know who we are, where we belong, how valuable we are. Look at these verses, John 15, 7 through 8. It says this, Jesus talking, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. This verse starts off, Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. You know what that's saying? You know what this verse, that phrase means? If you abide in me and my words abide in you. It says, stay in your identity. Know who God says you are. Jesus is saying, you're in me. You're in me. God has put you in me, your spirit in me. We are seated in the heavens at the right hand of the Father. You are in me, not physically, but in your spirit, in who you truly are. You are in me. Everything that applies to me, Jesus says, is true for you. Everything the Father thinks and every way the Father thinks about me, he thinks about you because you are in me. Do not be moved from that truth. Do not be shaken. Do not let the circumstance of the world or what people say or what the media tells you shake you from that truth. Because you are in me. Abide in me. Let my words abide in you. Know who you are in the Father. You are a child of the King of the universe. And if you stand in firm in that truth, if you operate out of that truth, out of that place, out of your true identity, you can ask for whatever you wish. And he says, it will be done for you. You know why a lot of our prayers aren't answered? Because we're praying out of our earthen vessel, out of our fleshly person. When we pray and go to our Father out of our identity as His son or daughter, when you pray out of that place, He says, it's guaranteed, it'll be done. Because of who you are. John 14, 12 through 13. Jesus talking, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. Now look at this. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Jesus fully has your back. He is at the right hand of the Father. And when you operate, and when you have a servant attitude, and when you want to bless others, and when you're operating out of your identity, Jesus says, you'll even do greater works than what I did when I was on earth. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. So that the Father may be what? Glorified in the Son. Hear this. Hear this. Through Christ, God's very nature has been restored in you. When he created, when God created Adam and Eve, it says he made them in the who? What? Image of God. That they carried the image of God, untainted by sin, uncovered, unwarped. That's what God intends for you, to carry his very image. And in Christ, the image has been restored in us. That's how God's name is glorified. Let me explain. When you show to the world and the people around you who you truly are in him, when that image of God, when that shines to other people, that's the glory of God that is being displayed. That's God glorifying his name. It's through you. It's through you. That is the servant attitude when we do that. Now, let me close with this. Let me just close with this. You know how this all makes you in your spirit? You know how this all makes you appear or who you are in your spirit? It's like this. If you were to truly see yourself in the spirit, I mean, it's way better than this. But if you were to see yourself in the spirit, in your spirit, who's been transformed, you're Superman. You're super. I said Superwoman, but I go, I don't think there, I did research, there's not actually a Superwoman. They call her Supergirl, but Superman, Superwoman, Supergirl, whatever. You're super. You're super. That's how you look in the spirit. So when you receive Jesus, God resurrected you, right? We died with Christ. We were raised with Christ. Your spirit was resurrected. So, just like Jesus, you are a resurrected son or a resurrected daughter. Your spirit and my spirit were dead, but it's made alive again. The spirit. Now you might be thinking, then why am I not experiencing it? Why don't I feel like a Superman or a Superwoman? It's because of this. Because you still are wearing your Clark Kent. I found that that's Kara. What's that? Kara. What's the Supergirl's Kara Danver? Kara Danver. That's her version of Clark Kent. So Clark Kent, Kara Danver. You know why you're not experiencing it? Even though you're a Superman, a Superwoman, and a spirit? Is because you still have your Clark Kent costume on. Many Christians don't realize that they've forgotten who they really are. They think they're Clark Kent. They think this world is our home. They think this is the reality of life, not who they are in the spirit. And they cling, and we cling to the values, the lifestyle, the things of this world. We adore this earthen outer vessel that's just dust, right? God made Adam out of what? Dust. This is dust. And we adore it, we work out, we put makeup on, we do all these things, right? And we're putting makeup on dust. You've got to throw off the Clark Kent identity. You've got to get rid of those glasses. You've got to take off that tie. You've got to throw away the suit. You've got to burn worldly achievements, your emphasis on looks and appearance, your attachment to worldly possessions, the praise of people, money, worldly power, status, and embrace being super person you are in the spirit, God's servant. Take off that Clark Kent stuff so you could shine and be here and experience who you really are, an heir to the King. You know, this past week as I was preparing and praying and reading this message, I was spending time with the Lord, and I felt like he gave me a glimpse of what I look like in the spirit. He gave me just a glimpse, and what I saw is like I could see myself like glowing, just glowing bright. I tried to find a picture in the internet. What? I need a picture. And this is the only thing I came up with right here. That's just a lame representation of what you're really like in the spirit. You don't have to try to shine. You don't have to amp up the wattage. You're already shining. You've got to just take off that worldly stuff and let the true you shine through. Who are we? Who are you? We are servants, but not just any servant. Servants of the King of the universe. So let's go out and let's shine and let's glorify our Father and bless other people. Let's change the world. Let's bow for word prayer. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, remove the scales from our eyes. Remove the blinders. Do spiritual cardiac Do spiritual surgery, Lord. Spiritual cataract surgery. So we won't see just from earthly eyes with earthly vision and worldly vision and worldly thinking. But we will see, Lord, with the mind of Christ. We will see through spiritual eyes. Give us revelation, Lord, of who we truly are in you and all that you've truly done for us, Lord. Help us to truly see, Lord, how really of comparative little value all the things of the world are, that we invest our time, energy, effort, that we seek value from. And that we would know how valued we already are, of infinite worth and value, because you sacrificed your eternal Son. Lord God, in Jesus' name, break bondages, break things and lies, Lord, break lies. Just nullify words that have been spoken to us in the past. Heal us of the past experiences that keep us from seeing. Come against the demonic spirits and demonic realm, God, and set us free. Set us free to be who you already made us to be in your Son. Come, Holy Spirit, just move in this time and pour out your Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.